familiar with Proverbs in its quick and short sayings, phrases that we can take and kind of put on an embroider into a pillow. But the first 9 chapters are actually longer speeches from the father to his son, a king to a prince, and the speeches of wisdom speaking, Lady Wisdom, and then the counterpoint of Lady Folly speaking of destruction.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we are starting our series, A Proverb a Day in May. As we're looking at the introductory chapters of this book, we'll talk about the 3 main characters who will serve as our guides through these various proverbs, offering us either wisdom or folly. Stay tuned for that message, but first we're joined by Jenny Abel, who along with her co-author Kenneth Boa have given us a great book on how to recalibrate our lives. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Have you been shaken or sort of disoriented over the past several years, causing you to make changes in your life that, quite honestly, were unexpected? I think that pretty much catalogs everybody, because the past 3 years took us all for surprise, and as a result, it caused us to make changes, whether it was in our living situation or our interaction with certain people in our lives, or maybe there are positive ways that have gotten you back to a church, gotten involved in a particular program or a small Bible study. There could be positive or negative changes that you've had to make over the past couple of years. But safe to say, what happened has changed our lives, and many of us have had to recalibrate. Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, as we're joined by Jenny Abel, who along with Kenneth Boa have co-written a book called Recalibrate Your Life, Navigating Transitions with Purpose and Hope. And Jenny, this is something that I'm sure many of our listeners are processing and thinking through, but they're asking the question, is this really something that we need to do proactively? Do we really need to reevaluate our life and recalibrate our life? Who is this book directed to? And should our listeners be considering changing and transitioning their life to new and different avenues?
Well, I think I mentioned earlier, it's one of those books that can kind of help anybody. But I think anybody who, you're not satisfied with the status quo of your life and you really would like to make your life count and you want to feel like it matters. I think anytime you step back from that and you look at kind of where you've been, you look at where you are now and you look up, ask God's help and sort of seeing your life in a more objective light. So that you can move forward. I think anybody who's in that position, whether you are retired or maybe you're at midlife, I think, we often talk about the midlife crisis. Ken and I in this book talk about it as the crisis of mortality. So that can happen anytime in your life. It doesn't have to be, right in your 30s or 40s, but there does come a moment where a lot of us kind of suddenly think or maybe gradually come to the realization, wait a minute, I'm not here forever. This life is going to end and you wonder, wait a minute, am I spending it on what I want to spend it on and what I should be spending it on? And so I think anybody who's kind of in that moment of maybe realizing life is not forever and I want to just kind of step back and see if this is how I want to be living, I think it's for those people.
What about those who have plateaued in their life and maybe they're at a place where they don't even think they need to recalibrate? They're just sort of coasting along. Would you have advice for them on how to actually evaluate their life and weigh what they're doing and what they're being given and how they're using it for the glory of God?
At the end of the book, we have a list that Ken's been teaching for years. It's called 7 Keys to Living and Finishing Well. I think that is a very good measure to kind of see, how am I doing in that area? I mean, it's very easy to kind of, I think, evaluate our own lives not in the best way. I think we need to use the Word of God and those kinds of standards. Key number 1, intimacy with Christ, fidelity in the spiritual disciplines, biblical perspective on the circumstances of life, having a spirit of teachability, responsiveness, humility, and obedience. I think sometimes we get to the point where we think we don't have anything else to learn. We're not teachable. Even I think when you're older, I remember there was a lady that I met with for a number of years, and she was in her 80s, or she is now in her 80s, and she really was a rare example of somebody who was constantly learning. I found that she was always going to the scripture and she would talk to me about, God is showing me this now. And I'm so amazed that, you know, all these years I didn't see this. And so I think maintaining that kind of spirit, I don't think any of us have ever arrived. And, you know, if we think we've plateaued and we've arrived to where we are, we want to be, I think, you know, just introspection is always going to be valuable. We always have more to learn, more to grow. We have other tools as well. This book has about 18 tools. There's some of them are for people who are kind of at the moment where they really need to be evaluating their lives in a more, because of something a little more drastic that's happened. But a lot of them are just something you can do anytime. So it might reveal something to you that you weren't even kind of aware of, maybe a blind spot or something.
I think one of the most important questions this book raises is, are we leaving a legacy, and what does that legacy look like? Are those who are coming behind us, are they going to be strengthened, encouraged by our witness and our testimony and how we used our gifts? Or are they going to look at us and say that we squandered, we wasted our time, and we missed out on the opportunities that God has given us? It's a really important question to consider at any stage of life.
Yeah. I think when we think of legacy, it has more of a self-focus. You know, am I making a mark? Is my name going to be remembered? Am I going to be remembered? I think when I was struggling with infertility, that was one question that really came up in my mind a lot, because it's hard for somebody to understand if they haven't been through that. But when you're in the middle of that struggle and you want to pour your life out for someone or something. And of course, we should be always doing that for God. But I think as now I'm a mother, and as a female, you know, I naturally wanted to pour it out into children. And we always think of biological children. They're the ones that I'm leaving everything to. But when you're faced with the fact that you may not have children, you realize legacy has to be something more than that. And if I'm not going to have children, who am I leaving things to? What am I leaving to them? And so it really, for me, it became kind of an exploration of what even is legacy, and who gives it to me. And I think we talk in the book about, you know, God is really the one who gives us our legacy. He's the one who establishes the work of our hand. And really the point is not us. The point is him, that his name gets proclaimed through the generations.
We've been talking with Jenny Abel, who along with Kenneth Boa are the co-authors of a great book called Recalibrating Your Life, Navigating Transitions with Purpose and Hope. If you'd like to find out more information about Kenneth Boa and Jenny Abel and their book, Recalibrate Your Life, please give us a call, 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, today we are beginning our new series that we've done annually for the past several years, A Proverb a Day in May. With May in front of us, we have an opportunity to set and establish for ourselves a pattern of how to read through Scripture. So I want to encourage you to come along with us in this journey to set aside one chapter of the book of Proverbs each day of the month and to read through it faithfully. Now, this is very simple. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and there's 31 days in the month of May. So all you have to do is look at the calendar, see what day of the month it is, and read the corresponding chapter in Proverbs. Obviously, as you start this whole process, you're going to probably find yourself messing up. You'll skip a day, maybe even skip a couple of days. Don't feel guilty. You don't have to go back and reread those chapters that you missed. The book of Proverbs is beautiful and unique in the sense that you can really just pick it up anywhere in the book, start reading there, and be blessed by it. So all you have to do is look at the calendar, see what day of the month it is, and then read the corresponding chapter in the book of Proverbs. Then we'd love to hear from you. Let us know about which verse or which proverb stood out to you and write to us and encourage us by sending your Proverb a Day in May to Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call, 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com. You can leave us a note there. Or if you do so on social media, be sure to use the hashtag A Proverb a Day in May so that we can kind of spread this whole attitude and this experience with all of our friends and share that across the networks. So remember, A Proverb a Day in May. Look at the book, look at the calendar, the day of the month, and and read the corresponding chapter in the book of Proverbs. Today, what we're going to be doing is looking at the introductory chapters, as we are introduced to three narrative voices. The father offering instruction to his children, and he introduces two voices, the voice of Lady Wisdom and the voice of Lady Folly, as they will be gathering and walking with us throughout life. It's important that we tune into the right one and to tune out the wrong one. Here we continue our study in our series here, A Proverb a Day in May, as we look at the introduction to this book of wisdom.
The first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs are actually speeches. We're familiar with Proverbs in its quick and short sayings, phrases that we can take and kind of put on an embroider into a pillow. But the first nine chapters are actually longer speeches. Speeches from the father to his son, a king to a prince, and the speeches of wisdom speaking, Lady Wisdom, and then the counterpoint of Lady Folly speaking of destruction. Here in chapter 8, we see wisdom speaking and calling so that others might come and find wisdom and its reward. Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, besides the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Besides the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. Here wisdom speaks. To you, O men, I call, and my cry to the children of men. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. The author here in Proverbs gives us this introduction to Lady Wisdom, describing her as calling out to the people. She is proclaiming her message. And in fact, we have a lot that are in the same position, calling for our attention. And here, wisdom is just one of those voices in the midst of a crowded environment. But she stands there. She calls out. Do we understand? Can we discern her voice? It says that she stands at the gate. She stands at a crossroads. And this is important for us to understand. She stands right there at a fork in the road. Will we choose to follow wisdom? Or will we choose to follow folly and be led by our own desires, led by our own wants, led by our own lusts? Or will we choose to listen and follow the voice of reason, the voice of wisdom that welcomes us into the city, welcomes us into the city of God? Here, wisdom says, I'm warning you. I know what you want, but I also know that what you want is not what's good for you. So listen to me. Come into this city and be safe. Wisdom is speaking, I said this, in the context of the conflict with folly. In chapter 9, verse 13, we see woman folly speak. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense. She certainly knows she has sweetness. She's louder. She's louder than wisdom might be. But what she offers is danger and distress. Notice how wisdom is speaking truth. I've been in ministry for a long time. And I'll tell you what. What I've learned is that the truth is very offensive. People confronted by the truth are not happy, especially if it's not what they wanted to hear. But Proverbs teaches us that the faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. For my mouth, it says, will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I cannot speak lies. For all the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. What wisdom is speaking is truth. She cannot lie. Wisdom will always be honest with you. Wisdom will not lead you down the wrong path. And yet, we are often prone to choosing folly over wisdom, aren't we? In fact, we choose folly every day. We choose folly anytime we are seduced by sin, trying to do it our way as opposed to doing things God's way. Verses 10 and 11, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. These are heralded in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all of these other things will be added to you. Because your Father is a good Father. He's not going to give you a stone when you ask for bread. He cares for you. He cares for the lilies of the field. He cares for the birds of the air. Certainly, He cares for you. And so you can trust Him because His words are true. They may hurt, but those are important. It says that the Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. The Bible tells us that God, in His wisdom, created the world and created all of the laws, the natural laws in which our world exists. He holds the world together by His hand. His rules, His ordinances, are what give this world life. And so He understands the very foundations of our world. It's not enough that He just speaks truth. He understands His creation because He created it. Where do we see the destruction in our world? Where do we see all of the brokenness? What is that a result of? Not God's design, but man's folly. Listening to woman folly. Listening to our own desires and following the path that leads to destruction. A path that leads to Sheol. Leads to death. The death in this world is not a result of God's perfect design, but our wayward hearts. Verse 32, the conclusion of this proverb tells us, "And now, sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." The structure of this psalm or this proverb is to give us some wisdom and insight into what wisdom is and how wisdom works. It's hard for us to understand the complexities of life, but this book gives us clear instruction. And yet we're given a choice. Will we follow wisdom, or will we choose to follow folly in an arrogance, rejecting wisdom, rejecting any truth because it's not what we want to hear? Or will we lean in, seeking wisdom because we want something that is far greater than the treasures of this world?
If you've never done a proverb a day in May, all of this might be very new to you. The introductory chapters to the book of Proverbs might be very confusing. In fact, the book of Proverbs gives the impression that Proverbs are these short little witty statements that have a profound statement. And the first nine chapters actually don't deal with those proverbs. They're actually poetry. In fact, they're narrative poetry. We see the voice of this wise king, a father offering instruction to his son, a prince. And he also introduces two other voices, that of Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom. And these three voices speak out in different ways and in different chapters, communicating a particular message, calling us to either listen to wisdom and instruction or to listen to our emotions, our feelings, and our desires and be led by them. And it's very important for us to understand these narrative voices because they sort of serve as a guide to the rest of the book. As you read through the rest of the Proverbs, you're going to hear those voices in the back of your head saying, choose wise friends, good friends that are faithful to tell you the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Or you're going to hear the voice of a Lady Folly saying, you know what? Be a fool. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about work. Just stay in bed a little bit longer. All of these voices of folly that would lead you to destruction. And we know that very clearly. So it's important for us to understand these characters. It's, the introduction is lining up for us the voices of these individuals who will be carrying us through this conversation. In fact, Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom can sort of be seen as that old cartoonish figure of the demon on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. We'll carry them with us throughout in the entirety of life, and I realize it's silly, it's kind of foolish, it's not really the best illustration, but it serves its purpose in this context because Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom will be with us throughout the entirety of our lives. Who will we listen to? Whose instruction will we follow? And who will benefit us in the long run? Obviously, Lady Wisdom is the voice of reason, but she's also very easily drowned out by the voice of Lady Folly. So we have to learn how to tune into her voice, very subtle voice, but to be familiar with it enough to be able to pick it out in a crowd. The only way you're going to do that is by reading the Proverbs for yourself. I want to encourage you to do that. Join us in the series, A Proverb a Day in May. Follow along with us and grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, all of that in the fear of the Lord. If we've encouraged you today, I hope you'll let us know. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. And when you do, be sure to use the hashtag, A Proverb a Day in May. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse for this series, Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man.